back in John 6, and we learn here that after the feeding of the 5,000 and the miracle of multiplying those loaves and fishes, that crowds followed the Lord. At first they wanted to make him king in an earthly manner, and he avoided that, and even to the other side of Galilee, over to Capernaum, they were following after him. What an exciting time it must have been when multitudes that had witnessed already his miracles were now seemingly more and more interested in the Lord, that they would give up anything else they were doing and follow him even at a distance. I wonder, shall we ever see the like of it in Canada? Will we ever see crowds and multitudes interested in the Lord Jesus? Do you think it's possible? Will we ever see it in our lifetime? A time when there are more people than seats in the church? A time when there's more interest in the Son of God than there is in material things? But don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Because we're going to learn that these crowds were more interested in more food, more loaves and fish, than they were in the Savior. Now, before we get off track here and start thinking about these things happening in our day in Canada, I want us to ponder something that is closer to home. I want us to think and meditate upon finding satisfaction in our Lord Jesus. He made a number of claims, that the greatest, I think, is, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Now, I hope that you've come to church today because you have a spiritual hunger. I mentioned about normal physical bread. We've had some of that already today, most of us. Now it's time for the spiritual food. And so while you are perfectly fine as far as physical food goes and clothing and material things, we need God's house and we need the Bible and we need worship because there's a hunger in our souls. That hunger is a powerful and it is a wonderful thing. Are you hungry today for the bread of life? I think there's a whole lot of malnourished, miserable Christians around, and they're living more a hollow life than they are a hallowed life. They're empty, famished. I want to meditate then on the Christian's true satisfaction in Christ. Last week we looked at our Lord as our sympathizer. Today, as our satisfier. Are you satisfied with your Lord Jesus? Do you draw daily satisfaction from him, just as you feed the hunger of your stomach by physical bread? Do you feed the hunger of your soul by coming to the Lord Jesus, who is the bread of life? It was Augustine who said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till it rests in thee." That's how God has created us. That's how God has made us. And of course, if we're born again, there is a spiritual hunger. There is now a longing and a desire for more and more of the Lord Jesus in our lives. Now you might say, this is mysterious stuff. But then life is a mystery. Birth is a mystery. Personality is a mystery. Human experience is a mystery. Satan is a mystery. And here's another mystery we'll add to it. The spiritual hunger that you have in your soul. And of course, how the Lord Jesus is the bread that has been sent down from heaven. And my prayer is that you will be led today into greater satisfaction, a real personal satisfaction in the Lord Jesus. Will you follow along on this? Just give your mind and heart to meditate on the Lord here today. I notice, and I'm taking today verse 27, as the text. So let's read the text together. Our Lord Jesus said here, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. I notice here a word of correction. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. It's a word of rebuke about overexcitement about material things, the things of the flesh. These disciples and the multitudes of people were overly impressed with those 12 baskets, the food that was remaining over, the physical food. They were willing to cross or get around Galilee and come to Capernaum for more. And the Lord rebuked them. And he said, labor not for the meat that perisheth. We need to be rebuked as well, even as Christians, over our overexcitement about satisfying the physical cravings of the flesh. And that's a tendency we have. We're in the flesh. And yes, we like to be pampered. We like the good things of this world. And there are many that get so excited about them, and indeed overexcited about them, that they neglect the thing that's important. I noted last week in news clips after the World Cup was all over, and I didn't watch it on the Lord's Day, and I noticed this later, the frenzy. The absolute frenzy. There were masses of people in the streets, shouting, screaming, sweating, craziness reigning, and it's all over. And the Lord said, labor not for the meat that perisheth. There are people that get so excited about things that are temporary. And the reality is we're all guilty. Not of the same things, not to the same extent, but we're guilty of getting our priorities wrong. There are those who use alcohol and drugs as stimuli to get excitement in their lives. They turn to those things. Others to material riches, various pleasures, and they run after them with great excitement. And the Lord says, he rebukes us, labor not for the meat that perisheth. But there's a double rebuke here. There's two rebukes in one here. And I must say that I missed this. I missed it until I did a little more homework. And then it dawned on me. It came to light. Not only did the Lord rebuke them for laboring with overexcitement about material things that perish, but if you look at the construction of the text, it says, verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. We are to get excited about the real food. We are to be stirred up about the things that concern our souls. And there lies the problem. We get our priorities wrong. We get excited about the temporal, the things that perish, and we're dull and lazy about the things that are really important, the spiritual and the eternal. And we are to labor. We're to labor, it says. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life. And we're to expend our strength and our effort, feeding our souls and attending to the spiritual needs of our lives. And because we're so inclined to the physical, feeding the body, putting food on the table, feeding a family, paying our bills, doing those things that are temporary, we get caught up in them, that we're guilty of getting our priorities all wrong. And I need that word of rebuke. We all need this word of rebuke. We need to be corrected and get this straightened out. And you know and I know there are people and they wear themselves out over material things. They just wear themselves out. They fret and they worry and they go without sleep. They injure their health because of overexcitement, overattention about the meat that perisheth. And then many wouldn't cross the road to come to a gospel church to feed their soul. That's the tragedy. That's the issue. And of course, the excuses are so many. Well, church is too early for me. It's too early. It's too far. It takes too long. And I may not find the seat that I like. Someone else might take it. And they'll say, well, I've been there before and I've heard it all before. You see, priorities are wrong. And while the same people will cross the oceans about material things, they wouldn't cross the road to see to their soul. Now, I think we have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, you've hit the nail on the head. It's true. And I'm guilty. I feel to get my priorities right. And I accept, Lord, the rebuke that all I'm really, really interested in is the material. Well, I ought to be seeking that bread which is from heaven, the bread that satisfies the soul. Now, will you just, in honesty before God, take the word of correction and say, Lord, will you help me just to put this right, my attitudes, my priorities, and I need to labor to feed my soul, that I might be satisfied in Christ. You see, there are so many professing Christians who are not satisfied. That's what this addresses. There are many people who take the name of Jesus upon their lips, and they're not satisfied. They're still running after the world, and they're not attending to spiritual things. Now, that brings us to the Lord's word of satisfaction. If you move on in verse 27, you'll notice he says, But that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Now, that food, the word meat here is food, by the way. It's not animal flesh. It's food of any kind. And there is this food which endureth unto everlasting life. Now, this, of course, was the Lord's life on earth, who came from heaven as the bread of heaven for our souls. And I have to ask myself, am I satisfied with my Savior? Am I really satisfied? I'm a professing Christian. I tell others that I have made my only hope for heaven to be the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. I believe in certain doctrines of Him. But the question is, am I satisfied with my Lord Jesus? And I can only answer for myself here today and say, yes, I am. I am satisfied with my Lord Jesus. And I'm satisfied that He came from heaven. If you look at verse 33, he says, for the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven. And I'm satisfied with that. I know that my Lord is divine. He is not of this world. He was not a sinful man. He was not the son of Adam. He came from above. You'll see in verse 27 at the end, for Him hath God the Father sealed. Now, a seal in biblical times was sometimes the king's ring dipped in the wax, and the wax stamped onto a document or an envelope that could not be opened until the proper recipient opened it, and it was therefore marked as from the King. Our Lord Jesus has been sealed by the Father. He's authentic. He came from the Father. Divinity has been stamped upon His whole life. His words were divine. His works were miraculous. His resurrection was miraculous. Everything about the Lord Jesus tells us that He is not of this world. He came from heaven. And I'm satisfied with that. I take great delight that my Lord Jesus is bread from heaven. Now, in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves." You see, many use religion and Christianity for their material ends, and they never enjoy a morsel of real gospel satisfaction in their souls. They're always busy with the material, the physical bread. And I have to search my heart. Am I only interested in the material, or am I truly, really resting in the greatness of my Lord? Am I satisfied with Him? I can truly say, I can honestly say, I am satisfied. I know my Lord Jesus came from heaven for me. But you know, we have to meditate on this to get the sweetness of the blessing. We need to find satisfaction in the great person and the truths of our Lord Jesus. Now, I was out in the garden yesterday and I was doing some watering. And while I was watering, there was this huge bumblebee came along. And God sent that bumblebee to teach me a lesson, to show me something that I needed to learn. And I watered and I watched that bumblebee at work. And he went from flower to flower. Now, I sowed this packet of wild flower seeds earlier in the season. And you talk about wild flowers. They're wild. They're all colors, shapes, and sizes. Mixed flower seed. And there's this particular blue flower that this bumblebee was interested in. And he went from each flower petal, and he, with his long nose, dipped in. And you could see him working systematically, one after the other, sucking out the nectar for whatever purposes he had in mind, to sustain itself or another, whatever. But it was busy. Talk about a busy bee. Now, you ask that bee, are you satisfied? I tell you, that bee was finding satisfaction. And we as Christians, who make great profession of who our Lord Jesus is, we need to learn how to meditate. We need to be busy bees in the truths and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. You remember how Paul prayed that prayer that we dwelt on earlier at the beginning. He talked about that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. Paul prayed for that. He yearned for that in the hearts of God's people. And here is how it happens. You see, we have this great store of the grace of our Lord Jesus, but we need to labor for the meat that endureth to everlasting life. We need to be busy bee Christians. We need to be drawing in, enjoying the reality of the Lord whom we love and serve. I'm also satisfied with my Lord Jesus' perfect life. This bread that speaks about our Lord coming down from heaven and his life on earth. And as I look at the life of our Lord Jesus, I'm satisfied that he lived a perfect life. And that's altogether important for me, because the Lord's obedience in the gospel plan becomes my obedience. That's how I'm justified. That's how I am made righteous. The Lord Jesus lived an obedient life in my place. And when I stumble and fall like Peter, and I'm reduced to tears as a failure, and I know that I'm not worthy, there is no sweeter truth than to know that Christ was obedient in all things. And my hope and my strength, my confidence, my peace, my joy and my excitement is the obedient life of the Lord Jesus that is now before the Father, and the Father is well pleased with his Son, and therefore he's pleased with me. And I am satisfied as I look at the life of the Lord Jesus, that I'm not trusting on some broken stick. I'm not leaning upon a bridge that will give way. The obedience of the Lord Jesus becomes my foundation. And my salvation is not my goodness. It's not my performance, not my accomplishments, but Christ's perfect life. And I've got to be satisfied, resting on His life. And the Lord says, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. And here is one that endures. The perfect life of the Lord Jesus will endure. And while this world goes on and God is building His church and calling His people, every saint, every one that will ever be in heaven will be there because of the obedience of the Son of God to the law. He fulfilled the law for me. And in my place, He lived the life that I should have lived. Now let me ask you, when did you last take 5 minutes just to meditate on the obedience, the perfect life of the Lord Jesus, to comfort your own soul? You see, people want comfort, and they want peace, and they want joy in religion. But we've got to labor like that busy bee, going after the truths and meditating, resting, and enjoying these great truths. I think we should take a leaf out of the Quakers' meetings. The Quakers had meetings where there was just pure silence. They just meditated. Sometimes we're so busy. And of course, the preacher's to the clock. If he goes much over an hour and a half, he's in trouble. If the whole meeting's over an hour and a half, he's in trouble. We've got to meditate. Take time. And that hymn writer is true. Take time to be holy. And it takes time just to draw the rest, the riches of feeding on the Lord Jesus and becoming satisfied. Satisfied. I am satisfied that Christ's life was perfect and I can rest on Him. Something else I'm satisfied with. I'm satisfied with His sacrificial death. I came as a sinner and stood at the foot of the cross, and I looked up at the dying form of the bleeding Lamb. I saw my Savior in my place. I saw the nails in His hands. I saw the blood flowing from His wounds. And I looked and I saw my Redeemer. Now either I turn away in disgust and say, that's not for me, or I say, that's enough for me. And as I see the agony of my Savior, and as I hear the words of my Lord, it is finished, I'm satisfied. And I know that I'm in good standing because my Heavenly Father is satisfied with the death of the Lord Jesus. He raised Him up again. He brought Him into the very presence of God. And so with Thomas, I look into the nail prints of my Savior, and I agree, He's my Lord and He's my God. But I have to take time and meditate on these things. Are you satisfied with the death, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, with His blood? How do you find satisfaction in your soul? You take time looking unto Jesus, finding peace with God through the Lord Jesus. And you need to pray this peace into your soul. Take these truths and take them to prayer and pray over them and say, Lord, fill my heart more and more with this satisfaction. I'll tell you one other thing that I'm satisfied with, and that is with His promises. The promises of the Lord Jesus are never single. They're like a string of pearls on a necklace. A string of pearls that one never stands alone. There's a whole list of them. And when our Lord Jesus gives you a gospel promise, He gives you every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Every need, every burden, every desire is lifted when you look to the Lord. I read in Ephesians 1, verse 3. And I'd like you to read this with me. Ephesians 1, verse 3. And it tells us there, blessed be the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, if ever there was a man's heart bursting with satisfaction in his Lord, here it is. in the Apostle Paul writing these words. I say his heart was bursting as he wrote this passage. Here's a man taking a pen, and the pen flies, and the ink fills the page so quickly, because there is excitement here about this meat that doesn't perish. These are promises that are real and blessed. Now, do you think that Paul the Apostle was a busy bee? Do you think that these truths that he penned to these Christians at Ephesus, that they just suddenly came to his mind? No, you can be sure, here's a man in prayer. Here's a man that's living in communion with God. Here's a man that is in touch and filled with the Spirit. And he has a soul that is full of his Savior. And he is satisfied with him. That should be your satisfaction and mine. But alas, this world that distracts us, that robs us of the peace that we ought to enjoy, and we become like the bride in Song of Solomon who ran out into the streets crying out for her beloved, "Have you seen my beloved?" And for some reason, for a time, she has lost him. He has withdrawn from her, and she's looking for her beloved, the lover of her soul. That becomes the quest of the Christian, and it becomes the very expression of the satisfaction that does fill the Christian's breast. We have a number of great Christian hymns that reflect this as well. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Now, do you think that the author of that hymn didn't know something of this satisfaction, this indwelling blessedness of Christ in the soul? Or another hymn, "Hear thou my prayer I make on bended knee." More of the Lord was the burden of that hymn. And you know, it's the bended knee that becomes the critical thing here. If we want the satisfaction, if we want to enjoy the Lord and find him, we need to be much in prayer. Can we say that we have been laboring in prayer? Now, I know to the world that's going to be an oxymoron. That's going to be a conflicting statement. Laboring in prayer. See, the Lord Jesus said, labor for the meat that endureth. And you have to seek it. You have to go after that. Just like the bee for the nectar. He couldn't sit in the hive and say, "Well, it'll come to me." He went out searching for it. And the Christian has to search for the grace, the sweetness, the blessedness of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord says, "Meet with me in prayer. Pray, ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." James said, "Ye have not, because ye ask not." And so we need to labor in prayer. And so if you're telling me your soul is empty, that there's no satisfaction, there's no peace, there's no enjoyment, I've been coming to church time and time again, and there's nothing there, try the bended knee. Try the bended knee. Have you tried the bended knee? Have you really earnestly labored and sought the Lord in prayer? Surely we have found the issue here. We've been rebuked. The Lord corrects. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. We have been instructed about the way of satisfaction, the meat that endureth to everlasting life. And then we come in that verse to the word of invitation, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. There's an invitation. The Son of Man will give it unto you. There's no other giver of such life. There is no religious leader, guru, priest, pastor who can ever provide life like this. Only the Lord Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he proved it by rising from the dead. And he now lives in the power of an endless life. And so Christians have to come back to this fountain of love. But there may be somebody here and you're not even saved today. And you're saying, these Christians, they talk about finding inner, secret, deep-seated heart peace. That's strange to me. You know that you have no spiritual life in you. You're dead in sin. Spiritual things are lost to you. The Bible's a closed book. It has no reality. And prayer has no reality. Then the reality is that you're a dead soul. There's no life in you. And that which you're seeking in the world perishes. And you'll perish with it. There's a great warning here. But Christ gives real life. The Son of Man will give unto you this life. He's the bread of life to satisfy your soul. Let me ask you, and I speak here to any that are not Christians, not saved, does the world satisfy your soul? Oh, does it really? Are there not those times when you've exhausted the pleasure pursuit? You've exhausted the worldly things, and you've come up empty. And you have to say that as you exist today in this world, you have lost sight of the world's purpose. You have lost sight of your own purpose in life. There is but misery in your soul, and all the things of this world cannot fill the triangle of your heart, which only the triune God can fill. I bid you, therefore, take up this invitation and come to the Lord who gives this spiritual life and gives this satisfaction. Now, and lastly, and I move to the next verse because this is important, there's the word of direction. They said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So, the people got the message. I think they got the message that they were not to seek after material things, but they still needed a bit of direction because they wanted to know how they could work the works of God. And the Lord said, Your task is to believe, not perform miracles. Your task is to believe, and it's by faith. You see, an unbelieving heart is really a wicked thing. God sent his Son to give life. He gave the bread from heaven to feed your soul. And if you're not saved, you're a Christ rejecter. You're turning away from that heavenly bread. You're rejecting it. And therefore you'll perish. And if you seek works, you'll perish. There's no peace. And your conscience can never find rest in human works. You've got to come believing in the Lord Jesus, or you are among the wicked. And the wicked, we're told in the Bible, are like the troubled sea, which, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And so here we have this twofold rebuke today. Christians are rebuked. We are guilty of running after the things and getting our priorities wrong. But if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, and you're asking, what should I do that I might work the works of God? Let me tell you, resting in works is a recipe for ruin. You'll perish. You'll go to hell. These things can't endure. They perish. And therefore you need that which is to everlasting life. And of course the answer is right here. The Son of Man gives you life. And you've got to bow the knee and accept the Lord as your Savior. You've got to begin a life of feeding on the bread that is from heaven. Enjoying him. Isn't it a great thing to be able to say, I enjoy the Lord? I hope this Lord's Day you will enjoy him. I hope through this week you will enjoy him. You will open your Bible. You will come to the precious words and the promises, and it'll thrill your heart. And you'll feel that strengthening in spirit growing in the Lord. Now, when you take physical bread for breakfast, lunch, supper, whatever, and you eat that food, it nourishes the body. There's a whole chemical process of the nutrients of the bread transformed into the very blood sugars that goes through the body to feed the body. You're nourished thereby. And for the Christian, when we come to this word and we feed on prayer and spiritual things, there's a new life that comes into the soul. There's a satisfaction that we find in Him. That's my prayer for you. I want every believer in this church to have that. I want you to enjoy your Lord. Therefore, labor for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. May the Lord bless His word to you. Make it precious to you. And would you think about that little bee? He was a big bee, actually. I stood my ground. I never moved. And he fluttered from petal to petal, sucking in the nectar. Would you be that busy bee this week, spiritually, laboring for the meat that endureth in spiritual things? May this instruct us and help us to do.